The healing school, right? And the power invested on the name of Jesus to heal. Now, today, I want to talk about expectations. Expectations. Yes, expectations. What do you mean? Expect to be healed. And the best way to get your healing into motion right away is expecting. Is expectation. Expect to be healed and do not settle for nothing less than healing. The Lord has bit by bit impressed into my heart that God's people needs to understand the importance of putting a demanding on the healing anointing. I'll say it again. God has impressed upon my heart, bit by bit, that His people, God's people, needs to understand the importance of putting a demand on the healing anointing. And usually when we think about the word demand, it sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, let me start by saying this. The word demand means a seeking or a state of being sought after. Is anybody listening to me here? Yes. Demand means a state of seeking or being sought after. Are we together so far? Yes. In other words, it means, in our case, that we are pressing forward despite of obstacles to get to a place where the anointing is, and expect at the same time for that anointed to follow upon us and to stick with us. Are you understanding here? Yes. You may be thinking, what? Yes. Expectation. If you come to church, expect that somebody's going to lay hand on you, going to pray, and you're going to be healed, you're one of the most miserable people on the planet. Why don't we do this? Yes, we do. But your expectation should not only and solely rely and depend on somebody laying hand on you for you to be healed. The expectation has to be that my God, the God that I serve, is able to heal and to answer my prayer. And the reason that I'm in church is because I want my brothers and sisters to join me on that adventure. And let's get the ball rolling faster and quicker. But at the end of the day, I go back home, my brothers and sisters will not be at home with me, but my God will.
Yes.
My God will. So there is an urgency for you and I to put a demand on the healing anointing. Meaning, there is that demand, that seeking the anointing or being sought because of the anointing. It means pressing forward despite of all the obstacles that may be in our way, despite of whatever people may have said. I'm pressing towards that goal. I'm going to be healed and I will be healed. I put a demand on my healing and I command the devil, get off of the way. Get off of the way, you idiot. It is finished. It was accomplished on Calvary Cross. And I know that you may say, well, old story. No, it's not the old story. Brother Harry, can you go for me, please, on Matthew chapter 9? Verse 20. Watch this. This is what I mean by putting a demanding on the anointing healing. You know what? You might not, you know the story, but maybe, Brother Harold, I'm sorry. Let's go back 3 verses. Let's go 9:17 to establish a background here. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else wineskin break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put the new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Some preachers will tell you that the wine that he's talking about here is the new anointing. I don't want to push that much, but I'm just telling you what other people are saying. When Jesus gave the thing here, he's talking about this wine that he's talking about is the anointing. And the new wine skin is the new you in Christ Jesus. Be as it may, I'm not willing to talk about this. Give me another verse, brother. 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. There is a demand on the anointing of healing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now this guy is really bold. He comes to Jesus and said, My daughter just died. He not even said, Good morning, Master. Or good morning, Rabbi. Are you with me here? Good morning, sir. Or whatever. No, he just come. Look at Jesus and say, My daughter just died. But come and lay a hand on her and she will live. But thank God I wasn't Jesus. I would look at him, and who are you, you punk, to come and tell me to come to your house and lay hand on your daughter? What is the matter with you? But you know, many of us are not different than this guy. You know what I mean? Many of us are not different than him. He had the audacity to come and look at Jesus. Come, lay your hands on her, and she will live. Jesus was so cool, listen to verse 19, that this is how he reacts. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciple. What did Jesus say to him?
Nothing.
It's just like, it's okay, boss, let's go. There was a lesson to be learned here. Now we get into verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Another demand on the anointing. You say, what? How do you know? Brother Harry, give me verse 21. For she said to herself, and this is what I want you to get this. She said to herself, not to the church of people, not to anybody in her family, not to the doctors. She said to herself, if only he touch me. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. This is a demand on the healing anointing working backwards. Today's world, when you demand something, you want something to be brought to you. You want something to be served unto you, or to be given or handed out to you. This is how the world sees this. Are you with me here? But I made sure that in the beginning I told you that the word demand means a seeking. It's the case. A seeking or a state of being sought after. In other words, pressing forward despite of the obstacles on the way to get to a place where the anointing is and expecting this anointing to fall on you and to stay with you. Are you following me so far? This woman couldn't be a better example of this. She said, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And this is what I'm challenging you this morning. Put some demanding on the healing anointing. Put yourself to the test. expect to be touched, and He will touch you. So what do I need to do? Reach out to touch the hem Amen. Of His garment.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I said in the beginning, it's nothing wrong for you to come to church and expect that your brothers and sisters will agree with your healing. Nothing wrong with that. Are you with me here? There's nothing wrong. We can do that. But the sole purpose, the main motivation behind my coming is not that other people's faith will make me well. Are we together here? The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to get healed or to please God. And who is that? Jesus said in John 4:34, God is a spirit.
Yes.
And those who worship Him must worship it in spirit and in truth. This woman said, if only I could or may touch His garment, I shall be made whole. You put a demand on the healing anointing. You make up your mind that you're going to do whatever it takes to be healed. You're going to overcome all the obstacles. You're going to start speaking different of what the doctor said that you have. And you're going to declare, I shall be made well. Turn to the person closer and say, you shall be made well. Listen to verse 22. But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Put a demand on the healing anointing. Make the first step forward and start declaring your healing even when the flow of blood is still going on. Convince yourself that if you only touch the garment of His hem, you'll be made well. Are we together here? So what that means? That means that I will never, ever, ever, ever agree with a doc that I have glaucoma. So now he say, boy, it is perfect. And it's getting better by the year. Are we together so far? And you may say, well, you're the pastor. So what? That's nothing to do about being the pastor or not being the pastor. The woman with the issue of blood put a demand on the healing anointing, and received her miracle. She expected that once she pushed through the crowd, pushed past the disappointment of 12 years of failed treatments and the loss of all her financial means. That woman expected that when she pushed against the stigma of being unclean, she would be healed. And she was. I think that many times God's people do not receive their miracles and their healing because they do not place a demand on the healing anointing. They don't push forward because they don't expect that something miraculous will happen. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
You know, many times we Bible-believing people allow ourselves to get discouraged. But you know what? Don't let the circumstances, don't let the feelings, don't let what the physicians told you, much less, don't let the devil talk you out of your miracle. Are you with me here? What do I do? Make up your mind. Put your mind on God Exercise your faith, even against all the odds. Press through discouragement and frustration so that you don't miss your miracle. Don't let any circumstance or anyone stop you from touching your Savior and being healed. Beloved, healing is available to everybody in the kingdom of God. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's amazing that some Christians still believe that God puts sickness on His people. There's still people believing in this kind of nonsense. Oh, you know, God made me sick so that I can get closer to God. Good grief. Thank God I don't serve the same God you do. So what you're saying? Let's get something out of the way here. I do believe that there are times when God allows sickness to get into the flock. Why? Because of rebelliousness. Because of disobedience. Which is completely different of saying that God made you sick to get you closer to Him. Doesn't the Bible say that whatever a man sow, he shall reap? So if somebody is in disobedience or rebellion, you're still God's child, but you better be ready. You better be ready. If you remember with me, there was a time when Moses had been already butting head with the Israelites for some 30-something years in the wilderness. And then they came to a place, they had already seen what God did at Marah. How the water were bitter, Moses take a piece of wood, throw in the water, and the water was made sweet. Y'all remember that? Then a few years later, they come to a place, and again, there is no water, and the Bible says that the whole congregation murmured against Moses. Moses runs to God. God asks him, what's your problem? Why you come to me? Talk to the rock. Often I think, my goodness, Lord. Did you expect him to know that you're supposed to talk to a rock to get water? But then I back off because I don't know what was going on between these two. So I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm just kind of trying to rationalize things. So Moses, after hearing this, he got mad at himself. Not because he had to talk to the rock. He got mad at the people that caused him to get an ear twist from God. So instead of talking to the rock, he smote the rock. You remember that?
Yeah.
Water came and then the people, oh, praise God, blah, 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 blah. God came and said, come here. What did I tell you to do? Talk to the rock. Why did you smote the rock? You know, this bunch of Israelites, children of yours, caused me to sin. God said, okay, very well. I have forgiven you, but I'll tell you this. You will never put your foot on Canaan land. Because you didn't sanctify me and didn't do what I told you to do. I told you to talk to the rock, you smote the rock. You may say, whoa, what you trying to say here? Don't let somebody talk you out of your miracle.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
At the end of the day, he had to go on the top of a rock, and God gave him magnified Ray-Ban lenses that he saw all the way to Syria. He saw the whole land from the top of a mountain. God allowed him to see it. But he died right in there. This man was talked out of his blessings because he didn't put a demand on the anointing. If God told him he's going to do it, talk to the rock. All he had to do is to talk to the rock. Then somebody may say, goodness, man, It is very harsh from God. I mean, you prevent the guy to go into the promised land just because he smote the rock? Yes. God ain't no joker. If God says something on the word, he's going to do it, he'll do it. So don't play smarty pants and try to do your own stuff. Are you with me here? Don't be talked out of your miracle. If God says he's going to heal you, he will heal you. If God says he will save your household, he will save your household. Well, but I don't look like it doesn't matter. The way that God works is not our way. Y'all know that, right? The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So the way that God does his stuff is never like our ways. So let's chill. Let's go along with this. Put a demand on the anointing and just follow along. And let God be God. God's people many times are taught out of their blessings. But I believe that healing is for everybody living today in the kingdom age. God does not put sickness on his people. Jesus died so that we might be healed. Say amen.
Amen.
So, as I said, God may allow sickness to come among his people in times of disobedience and rebelliousness. So what you're saying? You and I can expect to live a healthy life. And whenever we fall sick, we can expect to be healed of all our diseases. Because this is what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus came into this world, he announced the coming of the kingdom of God. Isn't that so? He got the disciples aside and said, okay, boys, I'm giving you power. Tread on serpent, scorpion, and all the power of the enemy. I want you boys to go out through cities and villages, sets of two. And when you come to a city, you say, you heal the sick. Is that right? Cast out demons, heal the sick, and then you proclaim, the kingdom of God is coming. The coming of the kingdom of God brought power over the devil and the healings of all sickness and disease. This is what you and I are entitled as children of the kingdom of God that has been brought by Jesus Christ. Are we still together? So what's the point you're trying to make, preacher? I believe that you and I are living on the kingdom age where we don't have to be sick or sick all the time. We don't have to be broke or broke all the time. We don't have to be run over by the devil day in and day out. So what you're saying? I believe that we don't have to be sick, broke, poor, confused any longer. Sickness and diseases are work of the devil. And Jesus came and disarmed all principalities, powers, demons, dominion. And the Bible says that Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Brother Harry, can you put up there Colossians 2:15? And I'm going to stop for today. Colossians 2:15. I want you to listen carefully to this scripture. What did Jesus do? The first thing he did? Now, third graders, can you read it together with me? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Put a demand on the anointing of healing and deliverance.
Amen.
expect to be healed, expect to be blessed, expect to be delivered, expect to prosper, because Jesus came to disarm principalities and power and every junk in between that could keep us captive, poor, sick, and miserable. Are we together here, folks? I love when it says, He made a public spectacle of them. He humiliated them publicly. Amen. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Brother Harold, give me the NLT here, please. Let me see what they say. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by His victory, over them on the cross. He shamed them. Now I'm curious to see the backslide, the translation on this one here. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. Yes! This is kingdom age! You and I live in the kingdom of God. Our Jesus took Calvary cross, stripped every demon, every principality, every power from whatever sham authority they had. We don't have to be sick all the time. We don't have to be in want, in need all the time. All that stuff has been taken care of by our Lord at Calvary Cross. So what's the conclusion, preacher? Put a demand on the anointing, on the healing anointing. Press towards your healing. Press towards your blessing. Are you listening to me? Press toward it against all the odds. Well, but I've been told. So what? Whoever told you whatever they told you, are they bigger than your God?
No.
Come on now. I'll tell you this, I'm not perfect. But I'm not taking the garbage either. My Lord stripped all of them. Huh?
Yes.
Marched them naked through the street, stripping them from any legal authority that they thought they might have upon my life and upon your lives. Expect God to do for you what He said He will do. And you know what? Move out of the way and watch your God do the miracle. God bless you. Next week, I may have a little pamphlet with you with the 12 different types of healing, ways that Jesus heals you.